first, let's clearly establish what Hassan Alahi is. He's an American citizen. He obviously has a Muslim name. He's also a digital artist, and he's a university professor. But he is not a terrorist or connected to terrorists. However, in 2002, he was returning from an art exhibition in Senegal, and U.S. immigration agents detained him as a terrorist suspect. Alahi ended up in front of the FBI. He went through a months-long interrogation process, walked away a free man, completely cleared. But it's been 8 years since then, and he's been doing the job for the FBI by spying on himself. His project is called Tracking Transients. It's an incredibly massive log of data. Everywhere he goes, everything he does, a track record of his trips to the store, his flights, constantly updated, digital alibi that tracks the places he goes, the addresses of his last known location, even photos of empty hotel beds and airplane meals. You can check it out yourself. We have a link at our website, and you can surveil Hassan Alahi. His website has a flashing red arrow that points at College Park, Maryland, which is where he joins us from. Good morning.
Good morning there.
You know, first let's go through this story, this biography of how this all began.
Sure.
And what it was like for you as a perfectly innocent American citizen, university professor returning from a trip, to get detained by the FBI and suspected of nefarious deeds.
It was a bizarre experience. I mean, it was absolutely something out of a movie. I had no idea what was happening, but I did know that whatever was happening, it wasn't good. And I knew that whatever it was, I needed to get out of it. And how do I diffuse the situation? How do I not raise the aggression? How do I walk away and not get shipped off to some Caribbean island wearing all orange?
Well, and your plan, I mean, a lot of people get very irritated, they get upset, they get traumatized. Your plan was to completely and utterly cooperate. You opened up your date book and gave them every piece of information you could.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the interesting things, I think one of the, our gut instincts would be, well, you know, how dare you take me in? I'm getting a lawyer. This isn't legal. But, you know, when you're sitting face-to-face with someone that essentially decides life or death, you don't behave like a rational human being, and what you do is you revert to this mode of animal instinct, and you really operate on instinct, and you do whatever you have to do to survive. And in my case, survival meant cooperate. I mean, you see yourself doing things in your head, and you think about taking action, but you dare not do any of that because you know what that means at the end of the day. I mean, you know who's in charge, and you know what can happen.
Well, we're speaking with Hassan Alahi, who has this website called Tracking Transients. So you can check out. There's a link at our website. And, you know, Hassan, your entire story so far, I completely understand. That all makes sense to me. What I don't entirely understand is then the leap from cooperating fully with the FBI and getting cleared to then surveilling yourself and sending that information not just to the FBI but out over the internet so everybody knows what you're doing all the time.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, you know, there's a few things that's happening. Well, one, when I first started this project, the last thing on my mind was, hey, I got new material here. Really, when I first started this project, it was a pragmatic way of basically keeping track of every place that I was. Because, you know, we're dealing with a machine, our intelligence agency, that's such a massive system. It can't possibly operate at 100% efficiency, and we know mistakes will happen. We know things will fall through the cracks. So I just wanted to make sure that everything was okay. So that's why I started making sure that whatever information they had, that everything was filled in between. And so I decided to watch myself. And in that process, I have a certain level of detail that I can get that no one else can get. So I just made sure that they had all those details. And then slowly it evolved into becoming this really elaborate art project. But it did start out as a pragmatic response.
Well, psychologically, I'm intrigued by this idea of being your own double agent. Hassan Alahi, associate professor and interdisciplinary artist. I don't quite understand what that is, at the University of Maryland. How does it affect your sense of spontaneity to know that everything you're doing is being put on a list and that you're doing that?
You know, it's probably – well, okay, when I first started doing this, I probably was one of those oddballs that was, oh, well, you know, he has his camera out again, and he's probably punching in something in his phone again. Now it's like, now there's people that have 50,000 tweets out there or 60,000 tweets. It's basically, think of someone just constantly on a Twitter feed, just 24/7. And everything's going out. Now, the interesting thing is, when I first started this project, you know, a lot of these tools did not exist. Actually, most of them didn't exist. So it was this wacky art project, and now it's no longer that. Now it's just commonplace. Now we're all doing this.
Facebook, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, now I'm completely obsolete. I got 800 million people that are doing this with me now.
Well, you know, let me ask you, when you very first started doing this and actually sending this information to the FBI, what was their response when you
absolutely
started sending them
nothing.
Your schedule?
Absolutely nothing. If I had written very specific things, it would, thank you, be safe. But
I'm surprised you didn't get a letter. Thank you for your information. We filed it in a file, and we'll be getting back to you.
The FBI is excellent at getting information from you and providing absolutely nothing of their own in return to you.
But they're still watching you. I mean, who do you get hits from on your website?
You know, this is curious because so everything was supposedly okay as of at the end of 2002.
You're completely cleared.
Completely cleared. Well, you know, you're never really cleared of these things. These databases are so screwed up and so mixed up with so much bad junk that you're never really cleared out of these things because all we need is a outdated system somewhere and there it goes all over again. But
you just need to call Al Shabaab today and that's all over. Yeah.
Exactly. So what happens is that I look through my web I look through my log files and every now and then I'll notice some really peculiar hits. So a lot of people from the CIA or the Department of Justice, which is what the FBI is under, or the Executive Office of the President, or tons of military places, the Terrorist Screening Center, you know, maybe these folks. I really don't know why they come by, but they do come by. So it's not just paranoia. I mean, you know, it's hard to be accused of paranoia when you indeed have proof that they are watching. Why they're watching, we don't know. Maybe they like art.
Well, if they are, they know exactly where you are because they can just check your website. But, I mean, have you come away with a better understanding of your daily life?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting looking at it in retrospect now, looking at almost 10 years of doing this. And there's very specific patterns that I see that come out. So, and these patterns are cataloged in very specific databases. So I have databases that are as specific as empty parking lots off of Interstate 80 or hotel beds that I've slept in and that I've woken up, you know, between a specific hour or even something as goofy as, you know, tacos that I've eaten in Mexico City between July 5th and July 7th.
Wow.
You know how many times you've been to Wendy's, right?
Yeah, it's true. I can look that up for you right now, and I can probably give you an exact number.
No, that's okay.
Well, I'm dying to know.
But people can check out your website, and you can do this yourself. In fact, Hassan Elahi encourages it, self-surveillance. Hassan Elahi is associate professor and an interdisciplinary artist, meaning that he works with all kinds of different media to make his art. He's at the University of Maryland. Thank you so much, Hassan.
Thank you for having me.
Send us your database. Post anything on the program, conversation you want to be a part of. Send us pictures of what you're doing right now. We talked earlier about the sexual harassment allegations facing GOP presidential candidate Herman Cain. And Robin from Queens posted this. D.C. correspondent Todd Zwillick makes it sound like President Clinton's behavior was worse than Cain's alleged behavior because Clinton had actual affairs. Outrageous. There's no comparison between consensual relationships and sexual harassment. Of course, I made that comparison, so don't blame it on Todd. Post your own view at thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage on The Takeaway is supported in part by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, WKKF.org. The Takeaway is produced by WNYC and Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.